Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yes, indeed. Good morning to you on this first Saturday of summer, and it's certainly going to be feeling like it. This morning, Laura Irish Hansen answering all of those lawn and garden questions. Laura, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Denny.
Summer really came in like a lion. We're not talking about winter.
It was spring for that matter. This morning.
I'm thinking of you growing peppers and maybe tomatoes. As long as there's moisture, and I know we're getting a little bit of that activity this morning in some areas, is this good or bad for our plants?
Well, the heat can be pretty detrimental if you haven't been getting enough precipitation or rain, or you haven't been watering very often. The thing I'm most worried about for people are all of their containers, and particularly like the hanging baskets that have like coconut coir, because they can dry out multiple times a day. So if we have really hot days and some wind, we want to make sure that we're watering those at least once, maybe twice. And if it's a really small container that's packed, perhaps three times a day to keep those plants thriving.
Yeah, you and I were talking off air. That's why I was kind of hoping, at least in this part of the country, that we were getting some showers this morning before this intense heat, because I see no showers after today until probably Monday. But if you're just joining us, we welcome your lawn and garden questions for Laura, either by phone or by text. Just one number to remember, 651-461-9226. I'm laughing because, Laura, we've been for the last, well, at least 2 hours, maybe more, have been getting lawn and garden questions via the text line. So we're lining them up even before you came on the air here by a couple of hours. Let's grab this first one. Texter says, I have my tomato plants planted in full sun, and I read somewhere about this shade cloth that you wrap around the cage. Have you heard of that, and do you advise doing that?
That is a new one to me. Tomatoes do love full sun, and so there's not really a good reason to be putting some type of barrier around them. I'm trying to think why someone would want to do that.
Yeah.
It just seems like a lot of extra work that isn't going to really benefit the tomatoes very much, particularly because tomatoes, a lot of them are susceptible to a lot of leaf and foliar diseases. And so we want to have really good airflow with them. So anything that's going to block that airflow could actually be quite harmful to the plants and their productivity. So, yeah, I haven't heard that one. I'm going to have to look that up later.
All right. A listener, Laura, wants to know, is it too late to plant sweet potatoes? And they're texting from southern Illinois, so I'm not sure what zone that is.
Southern Illinois could be zones 6 and 7. You want to look at the cultivar or variety of sweet potato that you are growing, because they'll tell you the number of days till maturity. And so if it's too long, like it's 120 or more for the cultivar variety you've chosen, then, you know, just look for your last frost date for that. But the big thing with sweet potatoes is you want to make sure they're in a really well-draining soil. So if you are going to put them in the ground and you have a heavy clay soil, you know, just know that your yield might be a lot lower.
I don't know, Laura, if we ever asked you this, but what are you growing in your garden, if anything?
Well, my seed packet list of all the different cultivars is over 260, and I grow probably over 200 different cultivars of annual plants every year, on top of a lot of perennials. So I grow lots of different things, but the thing I'm most excited for right now are that my pink or champagne currants are fruiting really well for the first time, and I started them from cuttings. They're really precious to me, and I'm very, very excited.
That's going to keep you pretty busy besides the work you're doing for the youth.
Yeah, I was out weeding this morning for an hour, actually, before it gets too hot.
Don't even bring that up to me. That'll be... It'll take me a year to get rid of those. But Laura, I'm looking at another text that came in. What's the best way to propagate lilacs from cuttings, new growth or hardwood?
Yeah, so lilacs are actually pretty tricky, and we are probably outside of the best propagation window for them. Usually you want to take those cuttings 2 weeks after they're done flowering. If you do want to propagate them, usually you're going to need to use some type of rooting hormone, which is just an auxin or an auxin-like compound, and they need to be kept fairly well moisturized while those cuttings are rooting. And just know, particularly if you're going to be starting them at home, you're probably going to have quite a few that do not root at all. So take many more cuttings than you think you're going to want. So newer growth can be the best for most lilacs, I should say.
Let us take a phone call this morning. Sharon, checking in from North Branch, I do believe. Thank you, Sharon. What is your question for Laura?
Hi, I have some daylilies. They're only 3 years old. They're really leafy and bushy, but there's no buds on them yet this year. Is that late or something wrong, or are they? What's my problem?
Ooh, it depends on the cultivar of daylily that you have. But I guess if I could ask you many follow-up questions, it would be, are you getting enough sunlight? Or is there something that has changed in the environment around them? So did they used to have... full sun, and now for some reason there's a big shrub or something that's blocking their sunlight that can make that you have less flower buds on them if it is one that typically blooms at this time. Another thing that can be happening, if they are getting an excess of nitrogen or an excess of fertilizer, that can actually increase the bushiness of the plant, which just means it's going to grow a lot more leaves rather than flowers. So if you have been adding lots of extra fertilizer to them, I would definitely back off on that because that is a big reason a lot of plants don't flower very well.
Interesting. Texter says this, by the way, if you have any lawn or garden question, you want to phone it in, we'd love to hear your voice or just send a text. Either way, 651-461-9226. This text to Laura says this, my June-bearing strawberries are done. When and how should I thin them? I want to use them for a new bed.
Oh, yeah. So whenever they're done fruiting, you can actually start pulling them up and spacing them back out. The general recommendation is that you're going to use some of those new runners. And the runners are just those stems that are running along the ground. And then you'll see a new little plantlet is starting to root in. Those are typically the ones that we're going to keep for the next year. You can thin. I've been told that people have successfully done it, taking out over 50% of their strawberries. But I'm always a little bit cautious. And so I would say taking out about 30 to 40% will really help rejuvenate your strawberry beds.
Okay. This texter says, why in the world are the silver maples shedding so many seeds this year? I have potential maple trees sprouting everywhere in the lawn in between bushes, and they would be growing in my house if I left the door open. In my 26 years with this tree, I have never seen anything like it. What do you think of that question?
Yeah, so I'm with you, and that is mostly what I was weeding out of my garden beds are a bunch of silver maple seedlings. So I don't know if you can remember last year, but for most of Minnesota, we had a very small seed crop for a lot of our trees, particularly the maples. And so what ends up happening is you can have bumper crop years the following year. So that is a large reason that we are probably seeing that very large increase in the seed production. Another thing that can be happening when trees are really stressed out from, say, flood to drought to really dry, stressful winter, they can actually kind of force themselves to flower a little bit more to try to propagate and pretty much continue on in essence. So that can also be another contributing factor. But yes, a lot of people are seeing a lot more seeds, but it's just a bumper crop year.
Interesting. Laura, hang on, please. We're going to take a quick break. Invite our listeners to join in on our Smart Garden Show, brought to us every week by Great Garage Floors, 651-461-9226. We'll take this quick break, be back on the other side. 81 is our current temp. We are heading for 97 both today and tomorrow. Get this overnight low, 81. Right now, 81 on Newstalk A3O WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Laura Irish Hansen from the U of M, answering those very lawn and garden questions. And again, we have so many. You want to call them in or you want to text them in? Either way, 651-461-9226. All right, where did we leave off? Here it is. The leaves, quote, leaves on my California poppies appeared, but none of the plants flowered. Shall I be hopeful for next year, or shall I plant the seed pods that I saved from last year's blooms?
So I would definitely recommend just planting seeding the seeds that you collected last year in that same area. I'm wondering if they're a little overcrowded, because that can cause the poppies not to bloom as well, which so if you can thin them out, if it's a really thick patch, I would recommend doing that this year. But it could have also been if they had too much stress from how cold it was this winter, and then coming into the spring, if they weren't getting enough moisture, depending on where you're at, that could have also decreased the amount of blooms you're seeing.
Okay. Listener does not generate enough compost to myself to do much. Can I buy compost anywhere?
Oh, yeah. So there are a lot of places where you can buy. I'm assuming you're talking about bulk compost. But if not, there are bags of compost. You can get it pretty much any of the local garden centers in the area and around the state. There are some larger garden and retail centers that do sell the compost in bulk if you're needing, you know, a cubic yard or more. So, yeah, there are a bunch of them. And if you can do a quick internet search, or just head on over to your local nursery and see if they have something available for you.
We're lucky, so fortunate to have such great lawn and garden stores around.
There are so many in Minnesota. It's amazing.
Quality, too. Good quality. This listener, Laura, says, we're having problems with cucumber beetles on our dahlia, and they are moving to our vegetable garden, mainly our basil. How can we control them? I've never had the problems with them before.
Yeah, cucumber beetles can be pretty pesky pests. if you can, you know, have a soapy bucket of water, if you can try to catch them early and flick them in there. But I know that they are pretty fast. We do have an amazing webpage all about cucumber beetles on the extension.umn.edu. So make sure that that is indeed the insect you have. But the number one thing is make sure that you're removing a lot of weeds in the garden, because they can be the host. Like you said, they're moving from different species. So keeping your garden as clean as possible. I also have personally used successfully the insect nets over all my cucurbits in the past, and that has really helped decrease the damage from them.
Oh, good. And I'm glad you brought that up, Laura, the Extension website. That's such a great resource that you and your colleagues put so much effort in, and great results. Extension.umn.edu. If you've never checked it out, you're going to love it when you do. This listener sent a text to Laura. It says, how do I keep my regal geranium blooming? Watering, fertilizer, what do you think?
Yeah, so geraniums need really well-draining potting mix. So if you have them in a container, make sure that it's not too soggy, because that can really, it can kill the plants pretty quickly. But you want to have it really well-draining, which does mean, particularly on days like today and tomorrow, that you want to be monitoring so they don't dry out too much. make sure that when you're fertilizing it, you're not using something like I mentioned earlier. You don't want a fertilizer that has too much nitrogen in it, because it can decrease the blooms. But the more you're going to water, the more they do need shots of fertilizer or some slow-release fertilizer added to them. I don't remember if that's one of the cultivars that you need to be actively deadheading, but it can't hurt to keep deadheading, which just means removing those spent blooms so that the plant will push more energy instead of making those seeds into making new flower buds.
Laura, did you say you have tomato plants at home?
Yes, I have 13 different cultivars and three plants of each.
Silly question, I guess. I was in talking with Mary Meyer the last time she was on, and her tomato plants, and we have this question from time to time about trimming those extra leaves. Some people say it produces more tomatoes. She said she doesn't do any of that. She just lets the plant grow. Is there a secret? I mean, what's the good way, if there is one, of growing tomato plants?
So the good way is whatever way someone grows them that's going to keep them growing tomatoes. And this is for a non-commercial aspect. For me, this is very much about the garden. I do prune mine. I thin them because I know that I have a lot of different fungal issues and not great airflow in some parts of my garden, and I still continue to grow my tomatoes in some of these areas. So I do actually, on my indeterminate tomatoes, prune out those side stems. It's not necessarily the leaves, except the lower leaves, I do bring them up off the ground so there isn't soil splash up. So there are reasons to thin them out, particularly if you need to create better airflow and air circulation around your indeterminate tomatoes. Now, with your determinate tomatoes, if you're thinning them out, you actually will definitely decrease the yield. You'll get way less tomato fruit. So make sure you know what kind you have. And if you can do a quick, internet search to figure out if you don't still have the tag, what cultivar you have, and if it's a determinate or indeterminate tomato.
And if you would, again, I've asked this before, what's the difference? What do those terms mean?
Sorry. I get so excited, I forget.
No.
So a determinate tomato means it's determined to end its stems in a flower cluster. So it's not going to continue to grow up out of that flower cluster. And so those are usually the ones that you see that are container friendly or short, or they're usually small space tomatoes, some things like that. Indeterminate tomatoes, on the other hand, have indeterminate amounts of growth after they flower. So they will throw out a flower bud and then they'll continue growing with their stem. So you can have tomatoes that are over 10 feet tall if you are watering and fertilizing, giving them what they want and need. So indeterminate tomatoes can be quite unruly if you let them.
I think I've done that a couple of years ago. All right. Thank you for that. Let's do this, Laura. Let's take a break. Find out if we must that hot forecast. We'll do that and be back with another half hour or so of the show to go on our Smart Garden Show, brought to us by Great Garage Floors. Stay with us. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show this morning. If you're just joining us, Laura Irish Hansen from the U of M is joining us, answering those lawn and garden questions. And Laura, we always love to talk, feature the Arboretum for good reason. And you love being there too, I know. What's going on these days?
Oh my gosh, there is so much going on at the Arboretum. So many great classes if you're looking to continue education in all types of things. There are a lot of great cooking classes going on. There's art classes, and they have these guided walking tours that are going on most of the time, Thursday through Sundays, multiple times a day. So, just really cool stuff. I know that today with the solstice, they had some yoga retreat, but I think it might already be sold out, because who doesn't want some hot yoga
of course,
on the solstice?
But so many things. And it's just walking around is great, or driving for that matter.
So much is coming into bloom right now.
Yeah.
It is just truly beautiful out there.
Yeah, I just head west on Highway 5 and 41. That's the closest intersection, and you're just a few feet to the entrance from there. Check it out. University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. Great place. Now, this one you have to help me with. Texter sent this text. Companion planting ideas seem logical, but have there been any research studies that verify them, particularly interested in tomatoes and zucchini? What is this texter asking?
Yeah, so just to explain what companion planting is, for those who don't know, companion planting is purposefully and intentionally planting different species near each other, which just means, you know, you can put, let's say, basil next to your tomatoes, that kind of thing. It's a little different than interplanting, which is more about the strategy of how you're laying it out. But yes, there have been some research published, and off the top of my head, I do apologize, I can't remember where it was out of, but there have been some studies that have shown that companion planting may help with certain pests or disease issues, but a lot of it has not been replicated, which just means that we haven't seen it multiple times. So it's really hard to make true recommendations saying, like, that is absolutely going to slow down bacterial wilt or stop root nematodes, just because we don't have enough data to back it up.
Wow. Okay. Very good. Yeah. Good question. This listener says it's planted old corn seed an inch apart, thinking it would not come up. And of course, it came up. What are some options to do with it?
Thin it. So sorry, I'm only laughing. So at the Foodscape, at the farm at the Arboretum where I work out of, our amazing Master Gardener volunteers planted popcorn, and they planted them at about 1-inch spacing. And I told them they had to take out every seedling at least every 9 inches. So there should be nothing between the corn. They need to be 9 inches apart. And corn does not transplant very well. So really what you're just doing is you're going to make sure that you have a robust, great crop by removing all the plants between inches 1 and 9. And then you just repeat that down your row. Sometimes you can actually go from 1 to 12 or 1 to 18, but I know that some people may struggle with removing seedlings. But know it's okay to kill those extra seedlings because you're going to have a better crop if you do it.
All right. Listener says that, sent this text, my pepper plant all have little flowers, but only 2 peppers. I know it's early, but is there something I should do to increase production at this point in the season?
I would leave the pepper plant alone. Peppers actually, they typically are going to self-pollinate. So with how windy it's been for most of us, they're going to shake and be fine. And your pollinators should also come around and help out with it. So I would definitely not worry. Having peppers already, and just starting the third week or ending the third week of June, is a pretty good crop. So keep doing what you're doing.
Very good. This listener, Laura, wants to know, is it okay to fertilize your plants in this heat?
I would hold off on fertilizing specifically, but definitely add some irrigation or water if you have not been getting any rain. And even if you have been getting rain, again, if you have container pots or anything or an area that dries out much quicker, make sure you're watering in the early morning or late evening. And we don't want to be watering midday because you're just going to lose a lot of that to evaporation.
Okay. And according to the forecast, it looks like just after this weekend, this heat will end after tomorrow, and we'll get, you know, some much-needed moisture and cooler temps, so that'll help. This listener said, my Christmas cactus leaves are purple. What's causing this?
Oh, that can be a few things. So if the leaves are purple and soft and squishy, so when you push on them, they're really squishy, not just that they're kind of wilty and dry. That might mean that it's been too wet in the root zone and you might be having some type of root or stem rot. So that's the first thing I would look into the soil, actually take that plant out of its pot and see what's going on. If the roots are white and healthy, it's probably not that issue. If they are kind of turning brown or mushy, then we know that the purpling of the leaves could be caused by that water stress. Another thing that can be going on is if you move them from inside to outside or somewhere where it had less light to more light, they actually could be having a stress response to having more light intensity. So you can they'll kind of grow out of that, hopefully, unless it was too severe. You might lose some of those. Well, they're not actually leaves. I'm not going to get really nerdy, but they're called phylloclades, if anyone cares.
Very good. There's a follow-up as to those barriers around tomatoes. Dexter says, if I did not put a breathable mesh around my tomatoes, I would have none left because the squirrels strip the plants and suck the tomatoes for moisture. So a follow-up there.
Oh, okay. Okay. I totally get... Now I understand the purpose of it. So I used to have that all of the time when I was in grad school, which was devastating because I only had a few tomato plants. And it turns out that the animals aren't eating the fruit for the fruit. They're eating it for the water. So I started actually putting out pebble trays of water around my gardens. And that has solved almost 100% of my fruit crop loss to squirrels and birds because they have a water source. So I would really recommend adding a pebble tray or something that you're refreshing that water every day or two for the wildlife. And that should actually help slow down and completely prevent potentially them from munching on your tomatoes.
Yeah, good idea. Listener sends this text, can I transplant peonies in July?
You can. I say that very cautiously because they are in active growth, trying to push all of that, the energy they're collecting from the sun, they're photosynthesizing, they're going to push that down into their roots all growing season. So when we disrupt them from that process, it can kind of slow them down. It's also a really, really hot time of year typically. And so you're going to have to baby them a lot more. So making sure they're really, really well watered, that they aren't losing too much moisture. So if you're moving or something and, you know, you're trying to take some peony with you, I totally get why it's happening. But if you can hold off until the fall, that would actually be a preferred time.
All right. Via text, a listener sends this. Trees seem to be shedding more leaves than usual this year. Why is that?
So I know that there are some leaf cutters that have been going. They're insects that go around and they can cut the leaves. There's also cutworms that actually go up. They're these little... worms that go up, they're not worms, they're caterpillars. They crawl up the stems and they can actually go and circle, girdle the tips of your trees and then you'll drop leaves. Squirrels can also cause leaves to drop because they'll go around and munch and play in the trees. So there's a whole bunch of different factors that could be involved in the trees dropping leaves, but they could also just be showing signs of stress from the last few years. So we've had quite a few years of drought, then we had flooding last year and then drought. And so trees are just pretty stressed out. So they may just be showing stress symptoms from that.
Okay. A listener looking for a suggestion, what are good flowers to plant in a graveside urn that is in a shady but bright spot? They will get watered twice a week.
Oh, flowers. If I want to say if you're looking for an annual flower, I'm assuming, I would go for something when you're in the garden center in their shade area. And you can choose some of the begonias can handle a little bit more intense light and they have some pretty flowers and the foliage is just really gorgeous. But that's one I'd really have to think about because it depends on how large the urn is as well and how quickly it would dry out.
But a good
out.
Suggestion with the shade area there. Texter says, should the flower on Japanese lilac tree when spent be snipped off?
Oh, no, they'll be fine. They'll keep growing. They'll be okay. If you don't like the way it looks, you can surely go and trim them off, but they'll be just fine on their own.
Okay. This listener sent this text in, Laura. Rhubarb, is it normal for stems not to be red the whole length?
Yeah, so I'm going to have a fun moment on a side quest here. So that we don't eat the stems of rhubarb, we're actually eating the leaf stalk, not the leaf blade. Do not eat the leaf blade. But that long piece that we call a stem on rhubarb is not actually a stem at all. It's part of a leaf. But no, it's totally normal for the rhubarb not to be totally red or pink on that petiole. That's what that leaf stalk is called. It's a petiole. And it depends on the cultivar of rhubarb you have or the type of rhubarb you have. So the one that I have at home, I actually have two different cultivars. One of mine is brilliant red all the way through. And the other one has kind of a red to pink at the bottom. And then as it gets closer to that big leaf blade, it's more of a green color. Totally normal. You can eat all parts of that petiole, that leaf stalk. But again, please don't eat the leaf blade.
Don't eat the leaf blade. All right. On that note, we're going to take a quick break and be right back on the other side with more questions. More questions. If you want to call in your question to Laura or send a text, 651-461-9226. It's our Smart Garden Show, brought to us each week by Great Garage Floors. Stay with us. And if you're just joining us, Laura Irish Hansen from the U of M is answering those lawn and garden questions today, and there are still many, Laura. In fact, before we get back to text, let's grab a phone call. Catherine calling in from Blaine, I think, this morning. Catherine, what is your question, please?
Good morning. Yes, I have a geranium that fell, and I'm wondering, can some of the branches or the stems on the flower fell or broke off? Can I take that and put that in water? Will that root or not?
Yeah, that's a great question for geraniums. And this happens quite often, particularly if the geraniums were knocked over by a pet or the wind or, you just bump into the pot. So when the stems do snap off, typically when they break, they have a kind of a jagged cut on them. So what I would recommend doing is taking a sharp, clean pruner and just snipping the bottom so that we have a nice, clean, open, fresh wound. And then if you do put the cuttings in water, you want to make sure that there are no leaves under the water, because if there are leaves under the water, they're likely just going to rot and then cause the whole stem to rot from the bottom up. So remove all the leaves before you put them in that cup of water. And then if they have a lot of leaves, so say it was a nice big branch, usually when you're going to root those geranium cuttings, they should be no more than about 6-ish inches. And you want to remove the leaves on at least the bottom half. So make sure there's no leaves on the bottom 3, maybe 4 inches even. And if there are flower buds on that cutting, and I'm calling it a cutting even though it's the broken branch, remove them. I know you're not going to want to, but definitely do that, because that stem piece is going to put its energy into flowering and producing seed rather than creating new roots.
I'm looking at Laura at a text, and I appreciate that, because we have listeners maybe who don't have a garden, but they love the show. Maybe they used to have a garden. This texter says, I cannot believe the knowledge this lady, meaning Laura, has about plants, etc., when I can hardly remember what day it is. I no longer have a garden, but I listen every chance I get. Sweet text. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, great text. All right, how to cut and kill buckthorn right now.
Yeah, so buckthorn is pretty tricky. So the best time to actually eradicate buckthorn is any time you're willing to do it. But if you are trying to remove it completely, the best method is to actually do the stump cutting. So cut it, between 4 to 6 inches from the ground, and then spot treat those stems. The Minnesota DNR has the best page for what herbicides you can use to successfully get rid of and remove buckthorn. So I highly recommend looking up the Minnesota DNR webpage on buckthorn.
Okay. This listener said, I trimmed my dogwood bushes to about 9 inches to 1 foot last fall. They only have leaves on about half the stems, and one of the four bushes look entirely dead. I had trimmed them the previous year, and they grew fine last summer. Any idea why some of the stems are not producing leaves?
Yeah, so they might have been, it depends on when you cut them. If you cut them too early in the fall, and by that I mean we had a pretty nice long fall, if they started pushing out new growth last fall, that all of that new growth likely was damaged by the cold that we then ended up having as the fall turned into winter. So that could be one of the reasons those stems aren't doing as well. But we also, for most of the state, had a really not a super cold winter, but because we didn't have snow cover, the soils got really cold really fast. And so losing a few of those stems, it's not too surprising to me that may have happened. So I would just leave them where they're at, because if you try to rip those out, you might disturb the root zone of the other stems that are living right now.
Okay. A couple of minutes ago on the show, Laura, any advice? I'm thinking about this heat we have. Any advice for listeners with their garden? With this intense heat.
Yeah. So anytime there's a heat warning for people saying, you know, make sure you're drinking plenty of fluids, the plants also need plenty of fluids too. So if you have containers, and in particular, any of the hanging baskets or baskets that only have like a coconut coir or unglazed terracotta, something that loses moisture really fast, check them at least twice a day, in the morning when you wake up and before you go to bed at night. Make sure that you're watering well. So water is going all the way through the pot. So you're seeing it come out of the drainage holes or onto the ground from inside of the pot. We want to make sure that those plants have access to water, and particularly overnight as they're recovering for some of that heat. Although, as you said, Denny, it's going to be 81 as the low. So we definitely want to make sure we're making our plants as resilient as possible with the heat.
And it's, again, the forecast, if that's correct, today and tomorrow. And then we'll definitely have a cooling off and more rain on the way, too. So that'll be helpful. We have about 60 seconds to go. Maybe a quick answer. Are there any potatoes resistant to Colorado potato beetle, do you think?
I don't know if there's any that are actually resistant to the beetle themselves. That's something I'd have to look up. But Colorado potato beetle, you can just flick them off into a soapy bucket, or you can use that insect netting that I mentioned earlier. So you can buy that and put that out early in the season next year when your potatoes just start to come up. So that should help prevent those beetles from totally decimating your potato crop.
Very good. Get to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, and for goodness sake, get to the Arboretum. Again, Laura Irish Hansen, thanks so much. Always fun having you on the radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me on this really warm morning.
All right. You stay cool. Thanks, Laura.
Yeah. Bye, Denny.
Bye-bye. Laura Irish Hansen.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.